Hashem. This week we're going to start doing something a little bit different. What I've been doing the last three, four shiurim, we're learning a book at a time, in case you didn't notice, which is a little sometimes too much. But I'm doing that because there aren't too many other places you're going to get a shiur like that. And it's not written up that much. And it's something you're more mature. I'm assuming you know the books. You probably learned them in middle school. And you're familiar with the stories. I want to give you the idea that each book has a theme and an idea. But to appreciate its content, when you understand there was a reason why the Nabi wrote it, and the Nabi has a prophetic agenda, you can appreciate the message of the book when you recognize that. What I want to do is, today's share, take a bit of a break from that, and focus on one story. But I want to use that story as something typical to understand my main point, I'm trying to get over all the time, not to read the books like history, but to read the books like Nevuah. The stories are written for a reason, and the way they're written isn't just reading a newspaper article or a chronicle of some sort. It's not to tell you what happened, but to learn from what happened. And one of the best stories for that is Pesach Micha. Just to appreciate the story we're doing, in last week's shiur I talked about is the book has an introduction, a patiach, about they didn't finish the conquest. That led to the Magal, the cycle of... Remember they left Azvu et Hashem, Azvu. They left God, and God brought it Sarah, Tzakal, and Yeshua, so the Shofet, and then the cycle went back around again. We explained that was Shmuel's thesis statement, which he proves in the stories about Niel, Ehud, Devorah, and Gidon. Those are the good Shoftim. And then Gidon, they finally asked for a king over here. And he says no, and he might have meant well, but the result, when the right person said no, we end up with Abimelech, who was the worst type of leader possible. Yiftach and Shimshon are other examples of called not such good leadership. Yiftach leads to, we have all the stories about Yiftach, about his bad leadership, and Shimshon, how they're really not leaders, but that's what we get stuck with when the right people don't do the job. And then we have the last section at the end of the book, which has a refrain, B'yamim ha'em in melech b'yisrael yishayashar b'enav yasneh. Sorry about that. You still okay? You still can't, you still... In this section, they're not about Shoftim. There's three stories. There's a theme through all the stories, which the anarchy in the country, there's no leadership, there's no king, and that's why such terrible things are happening. And we try to explain that even though Shmuel, when he first hears the people asking for a king, he thinks it's a bad idea, and he's right, they're asking for all the wrong reasons. Shmuel has a bar plukta, better known as, not just Rav, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what's God tell Shmuel? You're right, they're asking for the wrong reasons, but give him a king anyhow, because not having a king is bad no matter what. There's a danger in a king, but there's a danger in everything you do in life. There's a danger when you cross the street, but you got to get to the other side. So God tells Shmuel, give him a king, but it's your job as Navi to make sure the king develops in the right way, and that's what the book of Shmuel will be about. So we try to explain that the book of Shoftim is coming to explain to the people why, on the one hand, they're asking for a king for all the wrong reasons, and the real reason why things are bad is because they left God. On the other hand, there's still needs for the king, and when the people really want a king and establish a government, let them do it. But the job of the Navi is not to tell them don't have a political system. The job of the Navi is to make sure it's channeled in the right way. And anyone ever studied Rav Kook in modern... Did we talk about that last time? What the book is about is pretty much Rav Kook's whole approach, if you remember the late 1800s or early 1900s. The state of Israel when it was starting, all these secular Zionists wanted to start a Jewish state, and all the religious people in Europe and all the great rabbis said it's terrible because it's all secular and they have all the wrong reasons. What was Rav Kook's approach? You learned his approach, didn't you? He said, even though there's secular people and they're starting a Medina for all the wrong reasons, what should the religious people do? They should join the movement. It was called religious Zionism. Have you ever heard of that idea? They should join, and even though the people are asking for the wrong reasons, the job of the religious people is to help channel all that energy and that desire to have the nation and channel in the right direction to be a nation, but then make them a nation following God properly. But the desire to have a nation, there's something positive about that. It's got to be channeled in the right direction. Now, we're going to take a break from that big picture and simply read one story, which is a lot of fun. We're going to read Perek Yud Zayin in Sefer Shoftim. As we read it, you'll tell me how it relates to the Nevi Shmuel himself. But we finished the story of Shimshon. The end of the Shoftim part is over. And we're going to start the beginning of the three stories, which are not about Shoftim, from Perek Yud Zayin. Any volunteer to read? Who likes reading? Yeah? Want to read? Take it away.
Perek Yitzayim from the beginning.
Take him. The first pasuk could be is like a short story, so we have to read it a phrase at a time. Oh, that's easy. So there's a guy from Har Ephraim. You know what Har Ephraim is? You see it from your window in the morning. But when you go up Emek Ayalon, you know the Ayalon Road 443, and you take it to Yerushalayim. Right before you make that right, you pass Beit Horon and you make the right turn towards Yerushalayim by Givon. When you make the right turn towards Yerushalayim, if you go straight, you end up in Ramallah. If you make a left over there to the north, that's Har Ephraim. Ramallah is Beit El, and everything north of Beit El is Har Ephraim. Everything south of Beit El is Binyamin. Until you get to Yerushalayim, and then it's Har Yehuda. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about, the map? And sort of little bit? You've driven to Yerushalayim. That, if you give that in a composition, your teacher would rip it apart. Because there's like four sentences here, all in one. And there's a lot of things implied. But there's a conversation between this kid Michiel and his mommy. What's he tell his mommy? The 1100 shekel, I'll call Kesef shekel for the fun of it. The 1100 shekel, that what? That was taken from you. And what did you do when you found that all this money was missing? What's alit mean? You cursed. Like an Allah, remember by a sota? There's an Allah and a shvua. What happened? Let me tell you what happened. Michael's mommy had in her sugar bowl, somewhere in her kitchen, had 1100 shekels stashed away. And she noticed one day it was missing. And when she saw it was missing, you know what she did? She started cursing. And she said, whoever took that money, bum, 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 bum. I can't say what she said. But she was cursing like crazy. And it must have been a really, really, really bad sounding curse. And guess who heard her cursing? Her little son, Michiel. And what's he worried about, poor Michiel? Oh, my mommy's really angry and she's really cursing and this might fall on me. So what'd she tell his mommy? Guess what, mommy? I cut down the cherry tree. I'm the one who took the money. And, you know, don't worry about it. I took the money and here's the money back. And what did she answer back? What'd she tell him back? What'd she say? She stole from him. What'd she say? Baruch B'ni Hashem. What's she trying to undo?
Curse.
Her own son. She's afraid to curse. Everyone's afraid that this curse is going to work. They believe in curses. I don't know if that's good or bad. Now let's read that inside, make sure we understand the story. So what? Vayomer Limo, he tells his mommy, Elef u'me'ah kesev esher lukachla, the 1100 shekel that was taken from you, vatalit v'gamamad boznai, and you swore, and I heard you say, in my ears, that curse, which the pasuk doesn't even say what that curse was, hinei'ah kesev iti, ani lekachtiv. I got the money, I'm the one who took it, and what she answered, and what she said back, vatomer Limo, his mommy tells him, Baruch b'nei l'Hashem, you're blessed, you're not cursed, everything's fine. Okay? What kind of family is this? What do we see about society here?
Normal family, curse when you lost your money, and then when you find out it's part of your family, you say, don't know what to curse.
Yeah. So first of all, you have a kid stealing from his mommy, and you have a mother who like curses like crazy, and then switches her... And what?
In front of her son.
He has to learn how to talk when he grows up. Do you ever see kids whose parents yell at them, don't you dare raise your voice? And for some reason those kids grow up and they yell at their kids. And Pasuk Gimel. What's his mommy saying? I donate that money to tzedakah. Not to tzedakah, but for what? To God. To make what? To make a pesel and masecha for God. What's going on here? She doesn't want to take the money back. Why? There's something spooky about the money because she cursed about it. And her son took it. So she wants to be clean on all sides and she dedicates the money to God. Is that wonderful? To make what for God? A pesel masecha. Where do those words come? Pesel masecha. Ring a bell? In the Ten Commandments, isn't it? The second commandment? Not to make a pesel, or masecha, actually masecha, that you have masecha you have with the second luchot. Remember after the second luchot? You know that in Leni. And Pesel, Pesel b'chol tmuna. She's giving the money to God, but to make some type of idol or something for God. What's going on? It's really strange. Just one more line. And therefore, he says, you take the money, and I'm giving it back. The mommy takes and gives it back to her son, and what's Michael supposed to do with this money? Use it to build a shtibul, to build a house for God. You'll see why I'm calling it a shtibul in a minute. Okay. His mommy took some money back, and she gives it to the Soref. You know what that is? The guy who turns metal into objects. You have to make some kind of pestle, something representing God. And how much did she give the Soref? 200 shekel. How much were lawyer fees? She donated 1,100 shekel. And how much goes to actually make the things? 200. What happened to 900? I guess she changed her mind on those or something. You see what's happening between the lines? Now, what happened next? Oh, how are you going to read that? Elohim or Elohim? You understand the problem? It's intentional. Is this a firm store? Is it a shtibul or is it a... What is it? Do you guys have a yeshiva minyan in this place or not? Can you go davening somewhere when... Can you daven late? If you miss yeshiva minyan, you have where else to go to? Does that ever happen? It's not supposed to happen, right? But that's the question. Can it be bad to go to yeshiva minyan? That's the... You know the scrimmage line? Bechera Chofshis? I'm sure you learned that. That's like, it was Michtav Me'eliyahu, I think. I don't think he used the scrimmage line, but it's the same idea. Like, some people have their scrimmage line of their whole relationship with God is, do I eat kosher or don't I eat kosher? Do I go to a milchuk restaurant that's not kosher? You know those kind of people? They're struggling with that. Then you have people struggling, should I daven in the morning or shouldn't I daven in the morning? Okay. Then you have people struggling, do I daven with a minyan or daven in my room? Then people are struggling, do I daven with the yeshiva minyan or do I daven in yeshiva? For some davening with a minyan, but then you have people, should I get there for borchu or should I get there for baruch shamar? You understand? Everyone struggles with this line of scrimmage. The question is what the line of scrimmage is. What's happening? You know that one, don't you? It's a classic. What? Yeah, it's Yefkira. And it's a 12-month season. Super Bowl is Yom Kippur, something like that. What's happening here? He's making a house for God, but can you daven there? Is there a place you can daven there or not? Is this idol worship or is this worshiping God? You know the question, like nowadays, is it okay to daven in a conservative shul? Or can a chassid daven can a misnagi daven in a chassid shishtibul? You wouldn't set one up, but once it's there already, is it better not to daven there at all or go there? It's a big question that comes up all the time. Now next. So he makes this Beit Elohim with this money. Okay. So he has an ephod and trafim. Who? I don't know if you know your thought. Does anyone else's mommy make them an ephod? You know who does that? Shmuel's mommy. Remember Shmuel and Avi? Remember Chana? Don't Chana and Shmuel have a nice relationship? Very different than this one, but it's a relationship between a mother, and his mother also makes him an ephod. So he makes this, and he makes one of the sons a Kohen, but he makes him a Kohen. One of his sons, he's not a Kohen, but he makes him a Kohen. To do what? What do Kohanim do? They serve God in the shtibul. And then what happened? Okay, one more. Bayamim Mahen, Pasuk Vav. What's the connection between that little summary line and the whole story? You see the anarchy? When there's anarchy in a country, anyone who wants can start his own shtibul, and start a shul. There's, you know what Hefkerut is? A Hefkerwelt? Yeah, there's no central authority. Not only is the political system a mess, you see what else is a mess? The whole religious system is a mess. What shevet was in charge of keeping the religion in order and teaching and the mikdash and things like that? And what shevet led his job? And how does the story begin? Oh wait, we didn't get to him yet. Okay, this one's a guy from Har Ephraim. He's the local guy. Now the lady comes in. Pasuk Zayin. This is what's called scene two, or act two in a play. Act one's over, act two.
Vayinam mibet lechem Yehuda. How could that be? Why isn't the Levi living in Shevet Levi? How come he's living in Shevet Yehuda? There is no Shevet Levi. And where are the Levim living? They're scattered among all the different Shvatim. For what reason? Because their job, not because they have nowhere else to go, but they purposely have nowhere else to go. They have no land because they're supposed to dedicate their lives to teaching Torah. That's why nowadays people in Chinuch have a din of Shevet Levi. And the whole idea of Masir Ksafim is to support Jewish educational institutions. Look in the Rambam in Hilchot Klei Mikdash. He has that whole idea. But nowadays, Machanchim is like Shevet Levi. So there's a guy from Mishpachat, from the family, he's living in Yehuda, but he's a Levite, and what should he be doing with his life? He should be teaching Torah, being a judge, and things like that. And he's living now in the area. He's living in Yehuda. Wait, where's the story taking place? Our story's in Har Ephraim. But he's from Yehuda. Vayelech?
Vayelech ha'yish me'ayir mi'beit lachem Yehuda l'kor ba'atshay yitzah. Vayavo Har Ephraim ha'ayim
l'kala l'kistar. So what's with this Ish Levi guy? What's he doing? He's sort of wandering around from place to place looking for what? Looking for employment. Looking for a shtetl, kind of thing like that. And remember, he's leaving from Lechem Yehuda on his way to find wherever he'll find, the Gosh Bashimta. And where does he end up? He's taken a tilt to Har Ephraim. And guess where he ends up? In Beit Micha. He just happens to bump into Beit Micha. What's in Beit Micha? Micha next to his regular house, he's got a little shtibu. With a float and trofim, you follow, and a peso, and masicha, but it's at Beit Elohim. V'yemar lo Micha. What's he hinting to? I'm looking for a job. V'yemar lo Micha. He went and followed him. What's the whole discussion about? What are they discussing when he gets his job? His wages, which is normal. But that's the only thing they're discussing. Keep that in mind because there'll be something later on which will be more disgusting than discussing. But keep that in mind. The whole conversation here is about what the wages are. Even though Shevet Levi is really paid by Maser, and that shouldn't need to be paid. That's a different topic. Now, so this Levi, now this Mishmicha has a little shul and shtibu, and now he's got his own little rabbi. He's going to run the shul and shtibu for him. Vayoha Levi. Okay, what happened? So this Levi stays with this man, and what happens? What's the relationship now between Micha and this Levi? He's like, you get along pretty well. You want to take a look at, look in go back to Sefer Shmuel for a minute. See Pesach Aleph, in Perek Bet Pesach Aleph. There's tons of these textual parallels, this is one cute one. See Bet Chaf Aleph? After Moshe lands a deal with Yitro, bring Mary Tzipora. See Perek Bet Nishmot Pasach Chaf Aleph? What's it say there? Vayom Moshe Veshevet Et Eish Veitim Tzipora Bito Le Moshe Betet Ben Vuchule. Got the idea? There's something similar. Remember what Chazal said who this guy was? Look at the end of the story. Let's see why I did that. Look in the end of Perek Yitzchet. In Pasuk Lamed. It says, Ve'kimo them b'nei dan et ha-pasal, v'yonotem ben Gershom ben Menashe hu v'nav, o hayu konim l'shevet ha-vanim. This guy, at the end of the story, you find out who he is. What's his name? Gershom ben Menashe. His name is Yonatan ben Gershom ben Menashe. You know what Chazal say? Menashe is here. Hacham ben Nun is a little funny. I'm sure you heard this before, haven't you? This is Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson.
In the Perek Yudchet in Parshat Shoftim, in Sefer Shoftim. We'll get to it soon. I mean, we'll get to it at the end of this year. Well, one of the goals I want to show you today is where Midrashei Chazal are coming from. And how Chazal read Tanachim behind things. For some reason, they're connecting this guy to Moshe Rabbeinu. But it's not just Chazal saying it, the Pesukim are telling you. By using a strange word like Bayo Moshe Lashevet. Isn't Moshe an Ish Levi? And he sets up a Beit Elohim? But it's not identical, but it's similar. That the contrast is what you learn from. So now go back to our story. We're back in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk. Pasuk Yud Aleph again. Keep going. Micha. So there's Beit Micha, he has a Beit Elohim, and this guy says, Rabbi. And this guy said, and look how happy, what did he say when everything's coming together? You settle down, you got your shul, you got a community, the whole thing. You say, Baruch Hashem, let's go in the right way. Listen to what he says. This is Bashert. You see what he's saying, Michael? Everything's going great for me. I built a house for God, I got a rabbi now, I got this Kohen, everything's great. And scene two, or act two, is completed. But we have a little refrain. What's the next line? One more line. Bayamim Mahim. You understand this refrain that's repeating itself as we go from act to act? Scene one is over. Ein Melech B'Yisrael. Scene two is over. Ein Melech B'Yisrael. We're hinting to something. There's anarchy here, and that's going to cause a problem. Now the story gets good. What's the background now? Shevet Dan should be where? Where should they have been in the first place? You heard of Gush Dan today? You guys are pretty, some people hold you guys on Shevet Dan. Not really, but you're close by. Where's Shevet Dan for sure? Like in, you ever go like to Ramat Beit Shemesh? Remember Ben Tzor, Ben Ashtaol? Have you ever driven from here to Beit Shemesh? That you've done, haven't you? And you get off the main highway and you go on that side road, you pass Tzomet Eshta'ol, and then right before the big, there's a place called Sora. You know those names? Ring a bell? They're right out of the Tanakh, all the places. That's where Shimshon was from over there. That's where Manoach was, that whole area. That was Shevet Dan. But Shevet Dan doesn't belong here. Shevet Dan belongs up north, in Tel Dan. Remember Avram Avinu is Rodef Adan, all the way up north, when God says Moshe Rabbeinu the country, and all the other Bnei Shpachot are all the way up north. There's Asher and Zvulun, Asher and Naphtali, and Dan. They're all up north. That's where they belong. But Dan never made it there in the beginning because they couldn't get that far in the time of Yeshua. They didn't get their Nachala. Instead, where did they put them? They clung on to Shevet Yehuda and they took a little piece of Yehuda. Yudah did them a favor and gave them this area, a little piece over here. Now things are coming along, and now they're moving, now they're on their way, trying to move up north. Got it? So Shevet Dan is looking for a better Nachala, sometime during the time period of the Shoftim. Yeah, when this happened, there's a big machloket, how many, it's not in chronological order, that's for sure. Now, Pasuk Bet, Veishlechu. Okay. They're living near Ramat Beit Shemesh. They're on the way up north to the Golan or to the Galil up north. How are they going to travel? They're going to go right past Tel Aviv. You know why? Because they have to go to Beit El to get up north to get to the highway. And the way from here to Beit El is through Highway 443, that Modin Highway, you know what I'm talking about? One past Beit Choron, the one you guys take to Yerushalayim probably? Now that they change the road, probably go back the other way again. You've been on that road, haven't you, from Modin to Yerushalayim? Been on that road, and then from there, when they get to the top of the hill, to Yerushalayim, they make a left turn at Beit El on the way to Har Ephraim, and therefore they pass Har Ephraim on the way up north. So this group of people is traveling north, and as they're going up north, they get to Har Ephraim, and it's about a day's walk. After the first day, they're not going to get there in one day to the Golan, they're walking. And what do they need when it gets dark?
in the Chabad house. And they find one.
Look what they find. So these five guys from Shevet Dan are going up north. They happen to pass by this shtibul here, this Beit Micha place. And they'll, as they're walking by, they hear this rabbi, this Ish Levi, and they recognize his voice, because this guy makes the rounds. He's a charlatan, the guy? This Ish Levi is making his rounds. There's a reason why he's moving from Yehuda, because they don't like him. He put enough stick over there. So these guys from Shevet Dan know this guy as well. Hey, what are you doing here? And listen what he tells him. He's asking me, how'd you get here? And listen what he tells his buddies. What did he talk about? How come I'm here? Here's what he offered me, and what did he do? Here's my salary, and now I'm a Kohen. What's he hinting to? Notice this topic is all about salary? You know what he's hinting at? If what? If you can make a better offer, let's make me a better offer, I can join you. Everyone wants a rabbi. Got it? Now keep that in mind, we'll see how it's going to play into the story. But in the meantime, he gives them a place to stay for the night. Kosher food, the whole thing. Keep going. Okay, hey, you're a rabbi. No? You got magic powers. Please ask God, are we going to be successful on our way up north or not? And they go to the rabbi for a bracha. People do that even to this day, right? Good or bad, you can argue, but they ask the rabbi for a bracha. Are we going to be successful or not? What's the rabbi tell him? He gives him a bracha, you'll be successful. Got it? They get the bracha and they go, and guess what? They'll be successful. Now, you can be playing, 50-50 chance, you can be playing, you can really know what he's talking about, or you can just be a charlatan. Be'ahu? Okay, so they go up to Tel Dan. You ever been there up north, like near Matula, near Kiryat Shmona? Usually go rafting in that area. It's beautiful, isn't it? But it's cut off from the rest of everything else. It's in that valley, in Emek Achula. They see a wonderful place, cut off from everywhere else. And where they see, this could be a great place to set up a nachala. And we can probably capture it because no one's going to come to their aid. So they go back now to tell their... No, they scattered the place out. They got a battle plan. And now they go back to their shevet. These are just five guys. Devo? What's it mean, madem? What's going to be with you guys? Meaning, are you guys men? Are you sissies? You follow? Are we going to go and take this or not? Sounds like the Maraglin, right? Remember? Like the way they should have gone. Let's go, conquer Eretz Yisrael Shlema. We can get our Nachala, we can set up Yitiyashvut here. No one's going to stop us. And again, when you get there, just one more line. Don't they sound nice and firm, these guys? Look how Zionistic they are. These guys could be right, they'd be right in this Besheva. You know what that is? They're right with the right wing. They want to capture the land of Israel. God's with them, you follow? So far they sound wonderful, don't they? Listen what happens next. So now, first it was five scouts, now they get 600, the whole army with them. 600 men army, and what's they going to do now? They're going to try and take over Tel Dan, the area of Dan, and make it to Nachala. But they're on the way there, guess what, they need a place to stay. Bayalu. Okay. So the first day they stop in Kiryat Yarim, which is, you know where Kiryat Yarim is? Tell us down today. Devru? So day two, now they need a new place to stay. Where do they stay the next day? Now they go to the Beit Chabad in Beit Micha. Be'anu? Listen carefully now from Pasuk Yudalad. From Yudalad, got to read really careful what's happening. Vayanu?
Vayanu chamishas ha'anashim halachim l'ragels ha'aretz la'ish vayanu elachayhem ha'idatem ki'esh babatim ha'ila ikhodu krafim u'fesal masikha.
Listen how they talk. You ever see a good, when you were young before you went to yeshiva, see like a good gangster movie? Where the guys talk to mafia people, how they talk? They say, hey listen guys, you know what's here? This guy, this Beit Micha, he's got a shul, he's got a thod and trafim, he's got, whoa, and there's everything here. And now know what to do. What are they hinting at? What do you mean know what to do? They're about to set up, they want to move their shevet nachal up north. They're about to capture land. What do they need if you're gonna capture the land of Israel, what do you need? You need a shul, don't you? You're Jewish. But that, all those things cost money. So what do they want to do? What are they hoping to get now? They want to take this whole little shul, which is by Beit Micha, and they want to take it with them. Again, they need a Sefer Torah, they need a, what else do they have in a shul? You need a shulchan, you need a candelabra. You need everything you need for a shul. They don't have that with them, but they'd like to have one because they're Jewish. So they tell the guys, you know what? On the way here, we pass by this place. It's a great shul here. And know what to do, meaning? You see what they're planning on doing? They're going to rip the place off. Pasuk Tetzav, right? Listen carefully. Vayasuru Shama. Okay. Who's guarding the shul? The rabbi. The Ish Levi. Remember this Ish Levi guy? With Mr. Frum is making the rounds? Who always worried about is his salary? Don't know? So I say, how you doing, Mr. Micha? Okay? And they give him an honor guard now. Pasuk Tzayin. Vishish? As they come to say hi to their old buddy, they give him an honor guard of 600 soldiers. And now they make a nice little deal with him. What do they do as they walk by? They pillage the whole place. Why are they taking it? Why are they taking the pestle and the masicha and the trafim and the ephod and everything? These are all the different artifacts in the shul. Why are they taking it? They're not going to sell it on the black market. You know what they're going to do with it? They're going to set up a shul and done. Why do they need a shul and done? They're Jewish, aren't they? You have to have a shul. Now, how come no one's doing anything about it? They have this honor guard of 600 men. Now, plus a gizet. Right, he explains stupid. Hey, what are you guys doing, guys? And listen, they make him an offer he can't refuse. This is what they tell him. Bayamulo. Hacharesh. You know what that means? Hacharesh means? What's a cheresh? Like cheresh shot and cotton? A cheresh is someone? Yeah, who can't hear? I mean, yeah, the cheresh. Yeah. Make yourself so you can't. Be quiet. I'm saying, don't talk. Sim? You know what that means? Cover your mouth. Listen, keep your mouth shut. Right? Don't make too much noise. Why? Listen, are you crazy? We're offering you a job. You can either stay here and be a lady for this little shtibul, or you can be Rav Rashi of Shevet Dan. What's it going to be, Mr. Levi? Guess what he does? He goes right along with him. You know why he goes right along with him? They're offering a better salary, for sure, and more kavod. This is a big job. Right, let's see what his response was. Pasachav. Isn't that cool? Vayitav lev ha-kohen? What's vayitav mean? How do they translate vayitav lev ha-kohen? You can't translate it, it's so good. You know, vayitav lev, like, he's not forced into it. Ah, it sounds great. He's so happy about it. And what's he do? Vayikach? He joins the whole group. Who's this guy? From Shevet Levi? These are the people in charge of Chinuch. You see what's going on now? What's happened to our education system? If Shevet Levi was put in charge of Chinuch, look how the people in charge of Chinuch are acting. Can you imagine? You ever see things like this? Baruch Hashem, doesn't happen nowadays. where rabbis, the only thing they're worried about is salary, and there's no corruption, and no one takes black, you know what black money is? Stolen money and things like that, and dedicates it to shuls and things like that. And no one uses rabbis to pull off scams and things like that. You would never find a rabbi to go along with something like that, which is like unheard of nowadays. But back then, it was a terrible problem. Imagine what the people thought of religion, if that's the way the rabbis are acting. So when they pass Micha, it's the middle of the night, they take the whole shul, they take the rabbi with them, they're moving their way up, and guess who hears, finally hears some noise? What's Pro Micha going to do? So they go, Vesimu. They put the kids and the women, all the kids in front of them, so they don't, because they're afraid they might be attacked. Vehima? The people, the Beit Michan, his neighbors, see what happened. They took away their shul and their rabbi, and they get really angry, and what do? They chase after him, and they catch up with him. And now we get to the big showdown. And they have a great way to solve the problem. Vayikru? You understand what happened? They called Bnei Dan. Remember the 600 soldier guys going to, start a new Nachalut up north? The Zionists over there. And they call them, and they turn around. Vayimru? What did they say, Micha? What's your problem? You have a problem, Micha? And Micha is with the people from Har Ephraim. They stole a shul. And what did they tell Micha, these 600 men? You have a problem, sir? What are you complaining about? So this is what he says back. What is he complaining about? Why is Micha complaining? They stole a shul. This is what he says. Vayomer?
Vayomer.
How are you going to read that? Is that awesome? What did you do? You took my God. Meaning my whatever artifacts they had in the shul. And you took my rabbi. And you left. And I have nothing left. You took everything I lived for. Okay? And now you're asking me, what am I crying about? What am I screaming about? So they give him some very good advice. Listen to this great advice they give him. What's that mean? Don't make any noises. They give him some real good advice. You know what, Mr. Micha? If I were you, I'd keep your mouth shut. You know why? Pen? I'll give you some good advice. If I were you, I'd keep your mouth shut. You know why? See those 600 men over there? They're not very happy, these guys. And if you start making too much noise, you know what they might do to you? You might not be alive tomorrow. Or in an hour from now. You ever hear a Hamafi guy talk? Isn't it the same style? Okay, by who? Does Micha put up a fight? Why not? He's outnumbered. You don't fight with the mafia. You pay the money and that's it. You got it? One more line. Minachalim or not Minachalim, aren't they? They're okay, aren't they? They built a whole new yeshul, they killed the whole city. Now they need a shul. Ain't much shul. So let's go to Lema Kachula, there you have Talban. Vayikru? What does that sound like? Remember Ulam Lu Shemir L'Rishonah, remember Yaakov and Betel? There's a polemic here against Dan. What, is anything built later in Dan? Remember in the time of Yerovam? He puts Agalim and Betel in Dan? This is how it all started. There was a Mikdash from beforehand. This is a polemic against the Mikdash in Dan, which claimed to be religious, which claimed to be Jewish, but it's far from what God wanted the shul to be. What do they do? Pesach Lama now, Ve'akimu. What's Galut Haaretz? That's a good question. Is that the end of Bayit Rishon or later on or earlier? The time of David? That's a good question. And the Parshanim talk about. But from that time on in Shevet Dan, that's how the Mikdash... There's a shul in Dan all these years. And there's a family of Kohanim. And how did it all start? It all started with the mafia. It all started with a bunch of guys who couldn't care much about They had to have a shul, but the last thing they had in that shul was there was nothing ethical about it at all. Now, does that happen in real history? That people build shuls with stolen money and act from, but the main thing is they buy a rabbi off, and they're looking for a rabbi who only cares about money. And everything, there's ritual there, and people worried about curses and things like that, but that's not Judaism. I mean, that sometimes is Judaism. That's not Judaism. That's not biblical. That's not what Akash Baruch Hu wanted from Am Yisrael. He didn't pick Avram Avinu to create a nation like that. To be classic, everything about ritual and nothing about ethics. There's nothing wrong with ritual, is great, but without ethics, it's a disaster. One more line. Got it? The same time when there's a Mishkan for God in Shiloh, and when Sefer Shoftim picks up, how are they doing in Shiloh? Who's running the shul? Or the show in Shiloh? Remember Bnei Eli? In the beginning of Sefer Shmuel? What are they doing? They're also corrupt. The people don't have too many choices, do they? There's Beit Micha, there's Dan. See what's happening? What's the cost for this corruption? Shevet Levi is striking out. If that's what Shevet Levi is up to, and that's where the people are, something's rotten. And who's to blame? Two things. A, there's no political leadership to get things fixed up. And there's no religious leadership. Shevet Levi's not doing their job, and there's no king. What's the hope? If we establish a kingdom, what can the king do? The king can reorganize and get Shevet Levi, where he can get some standards, can get smicha tests, can, you know, set up a proper yeshiva. Get better Rosh Yeshivas, you follow? You can fix things, but it takes a political organization to establish an education system. But this isn't just a story of something that happened in the time of the Shoftim. It's not a story about a Shofet even. It's a polemic, a very powerful one, written on purpose in a sarcastic way. And it's making fun of what's happening, but you ever read a good satire? It's good. It's a real story, something that happened, but how it's written, with all this imagery back to things in Chumash, it's coming to make a point. Because there's going to be another East Levi from Har Ephraim. You know what his name's going to be? Elkanah. You ever hear of Elkanah? He has a wife named Chana, and they have a kid, Shmuel. And he's going to be an East Levi. You know Shmuel is an East Levi? Elkanah is an East Levi from Har Ephraim. His kid Shmuel is also a Levi, because his father was a Levi. And what's his mother do with him? She makes him a Kohen to God. She dedicates him. And he acts like a Kohen in Beit Hashem B'Shiloh. And his mommy also makes him an Ephod. And his mommy is the exact opposite of this mommy. She doesn't go around cursing. What's she do? She goes around praying. And she brings up her child properly. And open Sefer Shmuel up for a second. And the end of Paragimel. The end of Paragimel in Shmuel Aleph. See what it says? Like Dal Shmuel in Pasuk Yotet. Like Dal Shmuel Vashem Hayayimo, Lo Yipil Bikod Havarsa. Veidako Yisrael Midan Bad Ber Sheva, Ki Neman Shmuel Lenavi Lashem. See the difference? Who's going to fix the situation of Shevet Levi? That's going to be Shmuel. Shmuel's going to be a leader who's going to fix all the problems of the times of the Shoftim. But the problem isn't only a lack of political leadership, and the problem is only a lack of religious leadership. There's a lack of educational leadership. Shevet Levi is in shambles. Who's going to fix it? Shmuel. And that's how he'd remember. How does he come into being? What's his mother make? Remember the neder she makes for him? And Shmuel himself is a type of a nazir? Remember that thing? He's not allowed to. Like, Chana's distraught, she can't drink wine either. You know the nazirut that he has, very similar to Shimshon? But the probably. And the turnaround character in Jewish history, from the rock bottom point that we reached at the end of Sefer Shoftim, to the glorious times we read in the time of David and Shlomo, the character that turns Am Yisrael around is Shmuel. And that's why so many books by him and for and about him. The Sefer Shoftim, the Sefer Shmuel. And what event leads to his birth? That's Tefillat Chana. Now you understand why Tefillat Chana is so important, why we read it in Rosh Hashanah, when we're being judged. But Tefillat Chana, that's sincere prayer. And who doesn't understand that sincere prayer? Remember Eli? He's getting old already. But the established rabbinate is missing the mark. And there's a grassroots movement of people like Chana, who are going to get things around, and his first child, Shmuel, who gets things moving. If you look at the beginning of the story, beforehand, no, there's no... where does he make him an ephod? In the end of... where does she make him an ephod? She davens. Yeah, look in Perek Bet. Yeah. Perek Bet Pasuk Yud Zayin. Do they talk about how bad B'nai Li are? In Shmuel Aleph, in Perek Bet Pasuk Yud Zayin. It says, V'yti chatata narim dola mo'od at p'nei Hashem, ki niyatsu anashim et minchat Hashem, u'shmo moshret et p'nei Hashem na'ar, chugoy fot bad. U'mil katan v'ase lo imo, v'alatam lo imim imim, v'alato elisha v'izboch v'zevach shonim. He's wearing an ephod bod, his mother makes him a me'il. Got the idea? There's a parallel between the mother and the child in the story of Pesach Micha, but a contrasting difference. But Shmuel is going to be the example of ideal leadership, and the story in the end of Sefer, on all the stories in the end of Sefer Shoftim are going to be poor leadership. One more little story, go back to the end of Sefer Shoftim in Perek Yutet. Just look how it begins. This story I'm sure you're more familiar with. Everyone see the satire in the story and the irony? And how it's a mafia story, and how bad the people are behaving. But as they're behaving poorly, but they talk about God left and right, don't they? The fact that people talk about God and want to build a shul and want to have a shul, and saying bracha and worried about curses and blessing and getting blessings from God, and are like, it's classic mafia. You know mafia stories. They're all like devout Catholics, and they buy off the priests also. Bahavdil. It's a real problem in religion when it's misunderstood. And this is a polemic how when religion is totally misunderstood and doesn't have the proper teaching and proper koanim behind it, when everything is only about magic, but no, there's, the ethical behavior is a disaster, and being our nation, remember we have to be a nation doing tzedakah mishpat? So for sure we have all the rituals as well, and we have a mikdash, and we have a Beit Elohim. But they have to be shining examples of good behavior and not corruption. Look how Perek Yutet begins. We'll see what the story is about. See how it begins, Perek Yutet? Just one line. Yutet Pasuk Aleph. Vayhi
bayamim ahim. Vayhi bayamim ahim, melech um Yisrael. Vayhi yifle viz gar b'yarchli ha'arfayim v'kasho yishak yivagash m'beit lachem Yehudah.
Again, another story about an ish levi. In Har Ephraim and back with Har Yehudah. You know what this story is called? You know the story. This is known as Pilegesh B'giva. What happens in the end of this story? What happens to this Pilegesh? She gets cut up, it says, and dies. She gets pretty much raped and killed. And the story is just like Sodom and Amorah. You see what's happening in the way the stories are written? They're written with flashbacks to Chumash, because they're coming to make a point. How are we acting now? Am Yisrael is acting like Sodom. Ki Sodom ayinu kamor deminu, like Yishael says. And again, it's an ish levi causing all the trouble. And this leads to a terrible civil war, which could have easily been avoided. What the people in Binyamin did was terrible, but that's not a reason to kill a whole shevet. The people are war hungry. They're out for blood. And the whole story is also written in a way which is very similar. And guess how the story is going to end? Guess what phrase? Remember, in Melech Bisrei Sheshar Ben Aviasa? And then finally, remember what did they do? They killed the whole tribe of Binyamin. And finally, when they surrendered, there was only 400 men left. Or 600, something like that. What did they realize? Oh my gosh, there's no one for them to marry? But everyone made a shvuah, you can't give your daughter to Sheva Levi? Story rings a bell? I mean, you can't give your daughter to Sheva Binyamin? So what are we going to do? We can't do Haftaras Nedarim. It wasn't Erev Rosh Hashanah yet. So what did they do instead? They killed the whole city of Yavesh Gilad. Remember what they do? They kill all the men and all the married women and everybody, and they only look for the unmarried daughters, and then they give them to marry Binyamin.
Because that way, because we said, no one will give their child to Binyamin. So how do we solve the problem? We kill a whole city, so we chas v'shalom to be what? To go against the Shvuah. We all said, no one will ever give the daughter to Binyamin. And we're not going to do Hatorah Sandorim, for sure not. That's like, we made a Shvuah. But we can't have a Shevet fall apart. Who's going to marry them? What do we do? Let's take a whole city, kill all the men, and take the single women, kill everybody except the single women who are marriageable age, and give them as wives, and kill everybody else. All the same Shemaim, isn't it? Wonderful. He said, you see what's happening? Educationally, this country's in shambles. It's a disaster. Someone's got to fix it. And Shmuel in his own life, what does he do? He does religious reform. He gets the people to do proper tshuva. We'll see next week. He does educational reform. We'll see. He's also going to do political reform. We'll establish a kingdom. There's a danger of having a king leading the people the wrong way. But if there's no king, what's going to happen? There'll be anarchy. And things like this are only going to get worse. What's God tell Shmuel? Set up a kingdom. But what type of kingdom? A kingdom that will make God and Ami so much better and stronger, that has to focus on, that if you have a good government, then you can, that government can develop a good educational system. You can have good yeshivot. Like the one over here. You understand? And it can be funded properly. But if it's full of corruption, if you don't have good leadership and good strong government, you can have a government that creates terrible educational institutions. It depends who's running the government and who guides it. That's why you need the dialogue between the rabbinic system working the right way and the political system working the right way. If the Nabi does its job properly, you can develop a nation in a good direction. If everyone's into money and corruption, then everything's going to fall apart. So again, I'm talking about, I want you to get a style of how the books work. These stories at the end of the book, they're not about Shoftim, and they're not just Maisa Shahaya. They're polemics, they're written prophetically, and they're making a powerful point. And they explain the background to Shmuel, and they talk about the problem of what happens when you don't have central leadership, and you don't have a strong political system developing and strengthening a good educational system. That's something to learn from the Dorot. Even 3,000 years later, there's a lot to learn from. Haven't we suffered from problems like these? But they can be fixed with proper leadership. So hopefully you guys will either be one side, either be the political leaders or the religious leaders in the group, and hopefully you won't be the corrupt one. You'll be the big ones. But everyone who reads the news or follows things like this happen all the time. It's not, maybe it's not this bad, but things can get out of hand sometimes. And we have to stop here. Next week, do people be here? Next week, there's parent season.
Yeah.
Right. Guys are here?
Yeah.
Because if everyone's going to be gone, I can take a week off. But if you guys will be here, usually parent season, people going in your slime, or people, either not your parents, but other people's parents. The guys are around?
Yeah.
So we'll be on. Next week we start Sefer Shmuel, and we won't do the whole book next week. We'll get most of it, though. Yes, sir. Oh, yes.
Yes, sir. 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 Yes, sir.